Good morning. Welcome to What's Up Boone County. But many of our longtime listeners know that we interview folks on this show who live or work in our community. They may have an interesting hobby or job. They might be the head of a not-for-profit organization or the owner of a business. And we've had everybody on here from the governor of Indiana to the basketball coach at Butler to others who have a more direct connection to Boone County. But this week, we have a longtime friend of mine. I haven't seen him in many years, but he's a Jerry Jones who still lives southeast of Lebanon with his wife. He's been married 62 years, and he was a naval officer in his younger days. We're going to talk to him about his career in the Navy, and we're going to talk in the second segment a little bit about his views on our current situation with our military and with the war in Ukraine and what we can do about all that. He was also a businessman here in town and was the president of Easy Rake, which was a longtime company that did business here. He also was on the Area Plan Commission. So Jerry's had a broad experience, and I enjoy talking to people who have been around a while and have seen things and might have a different perspective. So Jerry, thanks for being our guest this week on What's Up Boone County.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. So let's start. I mentioned you've been married 42 years. Your wife's name is?
My wife's name is Nancy, and actually it's 62 years.
I'm sorry, did I say 42 or 62?
You said 42.
Oh, my, I was only off by 20.
Yeah.
So 62 years. You have children, I know.
Right, three kids.
Three children.
Boy and two girls.
And how long have you lived in the Lebanon area? Since when have you been here?
Came back here in 1980, so that's 42 years
42
ago.
42 years. Man, that's what I was thinking. 42 years in Lebanon. But you started out somewhere else. Where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Kansas and then in Iowa. And then I went into the Navy in 1960.
Did you intend to make a career of the Navy, or did you just happen to make a career of the Navy?
No, I intended to do that all along.
Did you go to the Naval Academy?
No, sir. I went to Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah?
And then I went to Officer Candidate School in Newport, Rhode Island.
So you're glad you were a naval officer? Did you enjoy that time?
Oh, absolutely.
So after you got out of the Navy, and we're going to come back and talk about your naval career in a minute, but you decided to go into business here in Lebanon, didn't you?
Well, yeah. My wife's family started Easy Rake in 1962 and moved up here around 1965. And, of course, we came back here in 1980 and worked in the business with her mother and the other people that had been with Easy Rake for many years, and worked in that business until 92, when my wife and her sister, who owned the business at that time, decided to sell, and they did, and then I retired again.
Well, that's all right. So Easy Rake, a lot of our older listeners will remember that company. What did Easy Rake do?
Well, they make lawn and garden equipment, primarily dethatchers and vacuums. We got involved in some other things, but that was primarily the.
It had a good run for a long time.
Oh yeah, 30 years. And in fact, my father-in-law, who started the business, as I said, 1962, predicted that that would be about a 30-year business, and then the fad would kind of wane.
Well, you know, People like to get those vacuum, those motorized vacs, and they can pick up stuff and mow and clean it up. And there's a market for it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
At least there used to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there still is. However, the vacuum business was really started by my father-in-law. But then over time, a lot of other people decided, ooh, that's kind of a neat thing. So
there's a lot more competition.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
There's a lot more out there now.
So Easy Rake is sold in 92. Has anybody taken it? Have there been companies in Lebanon that actually took its place or tried to spin off or anything like that?
Well, sure. Back in the 70s, Stan Morton and Marty Palgraf started the Palmore Products.
Palmore Products, I remember that.
Over in Thorntown, and they made a vacuum and other things. And, of course, Marty and Stan are gone now. But I'm not sure what Palmore Products, if it's still around,
what
or
it,
what
happened
they're
to
making it now. But but their founders are both dead now.
Okay, so Easy Rake's office and plant was over there on Hendricks Drive, wasn't it?
No, it was in Ransdell Park.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Ransdell Park. I was thinking of Ransdell Drive, and I said Hendricks. It's over there by the railroad viaduct there, yes. Right by the interstate, isn't
that's
it?
Right.
Let's talk about, you know, about what else you got involved in when you were in Lebanon as president of Easy Rake, and then after. I know for a while you served in county government on our plan commission, maybe the Board of Zoning Appeals, too. I don't remember those details.
Yeah, that's correct.
How'd you get into that?
Well, when we first settled out there and built our house, my neighbor, John Essex, was the trustee of Worth Township. And he came to me one day and he says, hey, I need to get you to run for the Board of Trustees here in Worth Township. I said, and I said, what do I have to do? And he says, not a whole lot.
Sign here.
So I did. So I spent two terms on that with John. And then Bob Guernsey approached me. Oh, I guess I don't remember what time it was. And he said, how about running for the Board of Zoning Appeals? Why would you like to do that?
You weren't elected to that.
No,
you were appointed.
No, that's
to that.
Appointed.
Yeah.
And so I said, sure, I'll do it. So I did, and I guess I served one term on that. What I think it was maybe 4 years.
Were you on the Plan Commission also?
Yeah. After that, Bob Guernsey again said, how about being one of the representatives on the Planning Commission? And says we need a new representative from the school boards, the three school boards here in Boone County. And I said, okay. So I served on that. And then after, I forget the years that I was involved in that, you know, when you get to be 85 like me, you kind of forget a few, details.
Some of the details are hard to remember. So, you know, how'd you enjoy your time in local zoning and land planning issues?
I really enjoyed it. I think a lot of people had a vision for our area, and from the standpoint of commercial and residential, and I enjoyed that. And as I look back now, there were a lot of other people that had visions of growing Boone County, and all you got to do is get on the road right now and drive around and. My God, it's just...
It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
It's exploded.
Well, you're listening to What's Up Boone County this last weekend in March, and our guest is Jerry Jones, retired businessman, retired naval officer. We're talking a little bit right now about his time in local zoning and planning. Back, it's been 25 years probably since you were on those boards, weren't you, or longer?
Oh, yeah, at least.
I mean, I can remember when you were on those boards, and it's now 2022. You got off about when? Sometime in the 80s or 90s you got off?
Probably early 90s.
Early 90s. Well, you know, we've always had controversy in that area. It's an area that's ripe for debate and controversy because there's always somebody who's got a reason why they don't want something to change.
That's right.
And it may affect them directly, or they may just be generally opposed to change. Or they may think the purposes of an application or a project actually aren't good, and sometimes that is true. So as you look around now, obviously Whitestown has grown. No one would have ever thought Whitestown would be as big as it has, would you?
No, I can remember when we first moved there, 1980. I think there was a population of maybe around 400.
Yeah.
And you might see them all from time to time, but everybody knew everybody pretty much. I mean,
yeah.
We had Walker Farms out there, and he ran cattle.
That was the first big development down in that part of county, wasn't it?
Yeah, Walker Farms. The houses went in there. But now I think the population is in the thousands.
Well, it's bigger than Lebanon. Whitestown's population is bigger than Lebanon's now.
Really?
Yeah. I know that their plan is, I mean, the prediction is going to be, and maybe it's already there, 25,000 before long. Zionsville, of course, has grown a lot. Part of the growth in the population is because the boundaries of the towns have grown so much. That's part of why the numbers are higher as time goes on, but there's a lot of people living in those two towns.
Oh, yes.
That didn't used to live there, for sure. So you've been generally in favor of the changes that have occurred in our county, it sounds like to me.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I hate to see some of the farmland go, but that's just, you know, I grew up in Kansas and Iowa where there's a whole lot of farms.
Yeah.
And I've always been partial to people that choose that as a way of life. And I hate to see it go, but, you know, they always said a farmer's retirement is his land. And if he doesn't have family to take it over, his only recourse is to sell it to somebody, and then, of course, they can do with it what they want.
Well, that's right. And it's interesting. Farmers are not being forced to sell their property as a practical matter. They may feel some pressure to sell. There could be some reasons why they want to sell. The inconvenience and the hassle of the growth around them can sometimes interfere with the farming activities. I get all that. But for the most part, farmers have chosen either to stay in farming or to sell. And it's their call as to whether they sell to a developer, a home builder, a commercial operator, or sell out to a larger farm operator, which is really what's happened in most cases. And then it's the large farm operator who either decides to get out or sell out or goes to another farmer. Now, there's so few farmers now, really. Compared back when I was growing up, a family might live on a 100-acre farm. Now you can't hardly make a living on a 100-acre farm, can you?
No, you can't. In fact, it's tough even on an average-sized farm.
That's right. Well, things have changed around here, and I don't think they're going to return to the good old days, as they say. I mean, between Lebanon and Whitestown, you've got that Waterford project that's going to be big in there. And if it happens, which I think it's going to, that's going to take up a lot of the land between Lebanon and Whitestown. And then you've got some other things happening around here that Lebanon is going to become part of the metropolitan area. It hasn't been historically, but I do think it's going to be in the near future. As Indianapolis grows out, it's already grown to where they've just essentially taken over Hamilton County. Hendricks County is almost all part of the metropolitan area. Johnson County, the same. Boone County has so far avoided it, but I don't see it being able to fend it off forever.
No, I agree. I think the drawback, though, to some extent, is that when you look at a downtown, Lebanon and Whitestown and Zionsville really don't have a large downtown. It's, you know, we have, of course, that Anson project out there in Whitestown, Zionsville area that's not downtown. I mean, that's a shopping center.
That's a big shopping area. Yeah. There's more businesses and retail in those that one area than there is in downtown Lebanon, I suppose.
Yeah. So, and of course, to have a big downtown, Boone County really doesn't have any way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make downtown Lebanon any much bigger than it is.
Yeah.
Because there's outside of it, it's just all houses.
That's right. And it's, to some extent, it's still a bedroom community. Because there aren't that many, other than the business park, which employs a substantial number of people. But most of the people who work in the business park don't live in Boone County. People don't realize that, but most of them come in. I think the last I heard it was about 40% of the people out there who work in the Lebanon Business Park and those big warehouses and so forth actually live in some other county. Well, we're going to continue our conversation because I want to talk about the war in Ukraine and some other things that I find interesting with Jerry Jones after we take a moment to hear from our sponsors. We're back with What's Up Boone County, this talking with Jerry Jones, who was a businessman until he retired here in this community many years ago. Still lives here, but he's also, before that, was a naval commander. I commanded naval vehicles on the water. So what'd you command?
My first ship was the USS Mahopac, which is an ocean tug during the early stages of Vietnam. And then my second one was the USS Gallant, which is an ocean minesweeper, also during Vietnam. And then shortly after Vietnam was finished, I commanded USS Berkeley, which is a guided missile destroyer.
Did you ever have to destroy any guided missiles?
No. But I fired some off.
Did you?
Yeah, Berkeley was a good-sized vessel. If you look at a football field that's 100 yards long, that's 300 feet.
Yeah.
And the ship was 437 feet long. So,
where was it stationed? Was there a home base for that?
Yeah, West Coast, California.
West Coast.
Yeah.
So after you quit being an active duty as commander of these vessels, did you spend some time in the Washington area, I guess, for a
yeah,
while?
Yeah, I was there for 6 years, which is the latter part of my career. I retired in 1980, moved back there in 1974. And I worked at Navy headquarters for a couple of years, and then I worked at the Navy Secretariat at the Pentagon until I retired in 1980.
You know, I took a family visit, and we went to the Naval Academy there in near Baltimore. That was fun. Enjoyed that. Went to the U.S. Army home base there in West Point, too, yeah. New York, on that same trip. So that was kind of fun. It's been a long time ago, but my kids were young. So you enjoy your time in the Navy, I suppose?
Absolutely. I'd always wanted to be in the Navy, and chose to go there after I finished my college education, and ended up having 21 years in there and thoroughly enjoyed it. Saw a lot of the world, lived in Japan for a couple of years, almost all my time at sea was in the West.
Yeah.
And
did you ever see any conflict or combat, as
yeah,
they say?
In Vietnam, we were actually over there before 1964, which is when, if you remember the Maddox incident.
Where I do remember that, the
yeah.
name, the Maddox.
Yeah, and then, but before that, we were still there and doing some interesting special ops operations.
Scouting things out.
Yeah, and we used to work the rivers and along the coast.
Yeah.
And
How do you think our military is doing today? You know, we get in these political debates, and they start debating about who's pro-military, who's spending enough money on the military, or we're wasting money on the military. What's your take on all this?
Well, I think the news media, of course, likes to hype things up. Military is quite capable of doing just about anything anybody wants them to do. I think they're funded pretty good. There's always wastage everywhere when you get the government involved.
Yeah.
And I read in the paper just the other day that the significant number of our military personnel in Europe right now during the Russia-Ukraine conflict is upwards of 100,000 people. And that's not all combat people. I mean,
is that new? Is that increased here recently, or
yeah,
is that?
That's increased since Ukraine situation has evolved. I know the president has ordered additional troops over to Europe to back up the fellow NATO countries. And as far as I know, none of them are they're not in Ukraine.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of things we don't know.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Cold War and how nerve-wracking that was, and people were pleased when that kind of ended back in about 80, give or take, Reagan and Bush, whatever. They kind of got Russia to fold up its tent, and the pressure seemed to go away. Then you got all these rogue nations that have come along, and the extremists, that's been our problem for the last generation or so, and now we're back with Russia being the aggressor again, and people are start worrying about these battles. You know, back in the day, you didn't know what was going on over there. Now with the TV and the media and all that, the internet, social media, I mean, you see the bombings and you see the conflict, and people start to realize people are getting killed over there, and it's come home to roost. That sort of stuff's gone on for years, I guess. But people are very upset about it. And I don't know. I don't know that we want to stick our nose into a war in Ukraine. But, you know, it just doesn't seem right that the Russians are just bombing bombing these buildings, churches, hospitals in Ukraine because they want to take over another country. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not running the shop operation at the moment.
No, I think that, you know, the end of the Cold War really didn't change the attitudes of a lot of the nations around the world. It just tore down a wall that was separating East and West Berlin. It separated some of the countries that the old Russia took over and created the Soviet Union, such as Poland and Ukraine and Crimea and some of the other ones. But, you know, if anybody really studies history,
which is important, because you got people making decisions. They need to know history, don't they?
That's right. Russia has been a troubled, dictatorial-type country back to the czars. And then Lenin and Stalin, and they were both butchers. And then they've had some other presidents or whatever they call their leader in between Stalin and now Putin. Putin is an old KGB trained man. They have never been nice people. And he is reacting kind of like Lenin and Stalin did by saying, you know, I'm going to take this country or I'm going to murder these people. Or
how does a guy get away with it? I mean, is there nobody over there that can take him out?
I don't know. You know, he has his loyal troops around him, and if he wants, well, in this particular case going on now, very few people are alive that remember the old Russia or old Soviet Union. They're dead, and they're gone. They're kind of like me, you know, they're 85 or older, and they've lived out their life. So the young people over there do not remember Stalin. They do not remember those times. They do not remember World War II, just like your kids and my kids don't remember World War II.
But, you know, they've enjoyed some of the modern qualities of life, some of the economic opportunities that being part of the world economy has brought, and they're going to lose that because of these sanctions, I assume. These companies pulling out.
They certainly are. In fact, those that have demonstrated in Russia are now finding themselves in prison.
Yeah.
Because Putin doesn't want people to cross him.
I read somewhere here recently that he replaced, I don't know if this is true or not, but I read it, 1,000 of his inner circle, he replaced them because he was afraid or the fear of being poisoned. And so he basically just cleaned house and brought in new people that he could theoretically trust. Now, my sense of it was, well, how do you find 1,000 people that you trust? I mean, you know, there may be somebody in the group that you've now got that's a problem, but just go out on the street and start interviewing for cooks and maids is not, in my opinion, the way to protect yourself. But, you know, maybe it isn't even a true story. I don't know.
I hadn't heard that, but I wouldn't.
He's probably paranoid as hell.
Well, I think those kind of leaders are.
So
whether it's Russia or North Korea or wherever, you know, they just, I'm not a psychologist, so I can't put myself in their head as to, well, why are they doing this and what are they thinking? Because it doesn't make a lot of sense. But,
well, you know, you made the comment earlier about you got to know history.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I liked history or not in school. I can't remember that far back. But as I get older, I realize how important it is. You learn from the mistakes of the past. And people that don't have any idea of what the mistakes were are going to likely repeat them.
Absolutely.
And
those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it.
Repeat it. Well, I think that's true. And I want people in our government who know what they're doing and who can recall some of the mistakes.
I don't even know if they teach that in school anymore.
Well, I don't know if they're allowed to.
Well, that could be too.
I mean, I would want them to teach, but, you know, this idea you can't teach certain things about slavery or or about race or whatever the issue is. Some of these people don't want you to talk about it. Well, that's just simply crazy. Yeah, it's part of the history, and we need to know about it so we can figure out how to deal with it properly, seems to me. But, you know, I'm not running for anything, and I'm too old to get elected to anything, so it really doesn't matter
I remember when you and I both had dark hair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, mine's pretty much gone to gray on me. Well, Jerry, I've enjoyed our conversation. You got any advice for our listeners, those people who are listening? You know, we may have several dozen at any point in time. It's one of the highest rated shows on this radio station, for whatever that's worth. Because of my good guests, I can assure you it's not the host. Anything else we ought to talk about today? Well, I got you, and you're on the radio. Somebody's going to listen to you. What do you got to say? Anything?
Well, not really. I just glad that I live in the country that I live in, and I've seen it progress, and I would hate to see it go back to the dark ages.
Well, I would too, and we need to keep the military strong because they need to be ready and available in the event they're needed. And let's hope it isn't necessary, but I don't want to have to ramp up from scratch when they've said, well, we should have done this earlier. So, well, I've enjoyed our time together, and I appreciate Jerry Jones coming in and talking about his career in business and as a longtime resident of Boone County, 42 years in Boone County.
62.
No, I don't know
42,
where.
62.
40, you're right. No, 42 years
42
in Boone County.
And 62 years married. My God.
That's right. We get it. And then, of course, years in the Navy and his perspective on the military. So thanks to him. I'm not sure who we're going to have next week to come in on our show. But we've got things to talk about every week. We're still going. This is 650-some shows in a row. We'll have another one next week. Hope you have a great weekend. And we'll see you next week on What's Up, Boone County.